I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. We'll get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions in a second, but it's probably something we talk about it, but we don't talk about it enough.
How mentally incapable the people who lead the country are. And I mean, physically, they can't do the job anymore. Joe Biden. Joe Biden has dementia. Joe Biden sometimes has no meetings in a given day. Oftentimes he has maybe one. He can't talk. He's the commander in chief. John Fetterman, Senator Cucumber, had a major stroke. From what I understand, it was a significant stroke. He is brain damaged because his stroke was so bad. Strokes are serious business. He can't speak now. He can't read. He definitely can't understand when people explain things to him. He's a United States senator. He should be rehabbing somewhere, resting somewhere. Instead, he's pretending to be a senator. And that brings us to Dianne Feinstein, who's 8,000 years old. And she claimed she had the shingles. And now it's coming out that they lied. By the way, shingles is significant in case you don't know what it is. Apparently, it's very, very, very painful. It's not something small. It's a big deal. But so that alone would have been bad enough. But they lied about that, and she had all kinds of things wrong with her. She's in a wheelchair with one eye closed. Okay, that's fine. People get old. Their bodies falter. They have shingles. They have strokes. They get dementia. That's all these things are part of the human condition. But when you go through these things, you can no longer lead the country. Listen to this. This is the reporter. This is the reporter talking about the conversation with Dianne Feinstein, the United States Senator from the biggest, most powerful state in the union, California.
What have I heard about what?
About your return. How have they felt about your return?
No, I haven't been gone.
Okay.
You should follow me. I haven't been gone. I've been working.
You've been working from home, is what you're saying?
No, I've been here. I've been voting. Please, either no or don't know.
She's been gone for 3 months. 3 months. And she thinks she was in the Senate the whole time voting. And maybe that comes off as harsh to you. Well, too bad, so sad. You need a functioning brain to lead the United States of America. A fully functional brain. And if you've gone through things and no longer have a fully functional brain, then you can't lead the country anymore. I don't get to do radio if I lose my voice one day. And that may sound mean, but I have to speak into the microphone for 3 hours a day. If I lose my ability to speak, I've got to go do something else. If you're a senator, if you're a president, you have to be able to think. You have to be able to read. You have to be able to understand when people tell you things. You have to be able to function as an adult. And if you can't, for whatever reason, you gotta go. And we just don't, I mean, we talk about it, but I don't think we even talk about it enough. These people are not functional. They're not functional. Serious question here. The guy, the subject of this one is, why have there been no assassinations? He says, the government is very clearly working against citizens at almost every level. As a student of humanity, why has no one been taken out by a crazy? Gosh, I really hope we're not going to that place as a country, but we probably are. I would argue this. One of the main reasons nobody has been taken out is communists are extremely violent and people on the right are not. And the communists run the country. So people on the right are, and I'm very happy about this, they're not inclined to go do violent things. Communists do violent things. Bernie Sanders supporters grab weapons and go try to massacre a bunch of congressmen at a baseball game. Communists go track down Brett Kavanaugh at his home, fly from California with the intention of assassinating Brett Kavanaugh. Communists are the ones who do these things. That's violence. Because remember, and I'm not even actually trying to be mean, this is just a matter of fact, violence for them, because they don't have any morals, nothing you would recognize, violence is, of course, always on the table. It's frankly a no-brainer for them. Of course, violence is on the table. If you don't have a belief system, if you don't have a moral code of any kind, violence makes sense, right? If I go use the bathroom and there's somebody walking down the hall with a pizza they just got delivered and I want that pizza, why don't I just sock him in the jaw and take his pizza? I mean, I can sock him in the jaw. Why wouldn't I do that? Well, because that's wrong. It's not only illegal in assault, it would be wrong. But the communist doesn't think in those terms. The communist sees a pizza. He's an anti-human, so he doesn't care about people or what's wrong or what's morally wrong. He sees the pizza. He wants the pizza. He socks him in the jaw. We haven't had assassinations because the bad guys in charge of the government, they share the same worldview as the street scum who's actually violent. It's the peaceful people like you and me in the middle. That's why. Now, is that going to change? I hope not. It probably will. It probably will. But that's what happens when things kind of start to come apart on us. I've been talking to you a lot lately about this. I am very worried about our financial situation. And I don't mean that in kind of just a broad sense. I'm very worried about a Great Depression coming and coming very soon. I am extremely worried about it. And I'm worried about that for a variety of reasons. I don't want you to be poor. I don't want me to be poor. I don't want people to starve, be out of work, bankruptcies. I don't want all the things that come with it. I also don't want all the crime that comes with it, disease that comes with it. You know, when you have economic calamity, there's so much else that comes along with it. It's not just about your stock portfolio. There's so much that comes along with it that's bad. It's really, really bad. It is what it is, I guess. Jesse, nobody enjoys you making fun of the Honorable Senator Cucumber as he displays his prowess in commanding the English language more than me, but something occurred to me when listening to him chair the banking hearing the other day. Most of the comments were, how embarrassing for the communists to have him out there speaking on their behalf. But what's become obvious is it's just another way the Democrats are spitting in our collective faces. I now view it as their way of saying we can do whatever we want and there's nothing you can do about it. Am I off base on this? It's from Kevin. No, you're not off base. They love doing this stuff. I would argue most of them don't care that John Fetterman should be getting rest and care. They don't care. They don't care that he had a stroke. They don't care that he hurt his brain, that his stroke was bad enough to hurt his brain. It doesn't matter to them at all because it's all about power. All they care about is power. They wouldn't matter if it was a dog sitting there, if it gave them power and it was something they could use to hurt their political enemies. That's really all they care about. But they do get a special pleasure. They always have. This is how communists have always operated, in rubbing the patently absurd in your face. There are many communists in this country. They're actually thrilled about Joe Biden. I don't even know. They're thrilled about that. They think it's cool. Why? Because what a power move. What a power move. Look at this. We just flat out installed a president with dementia. We installed a president who should be in a long-term care facility, getting rest and care in a relaxing environment from a professional staff like other people with dementia get. Instead, they just made him commander in chief and rubbed it right in your face. Rubbed it right in my face. They enjoy that. I've brought this up before and I mean it. That's a big reason why all the trans stuff has taken such hold over there, because it's ridiculous and everyone knows it's ridiculous. But how much do I own you if I get you to say something that is ridiculous is actually totally normal? There's a dude. He's got about half a beard. His shoulders look like mine. He puts on a dress and calls himself a woman. Everybody, left, right, middle, adult, child, every single person knows that ain't a woman. Everyone. But how much power do I have over you if I can make you ashamed or afraid enough or whatever it may be, if I can make you look at that dude and say, that's a woman, I own you. What I can make you do anything. I can make you admit to anything. If I can make you look up at the sky and say it's green, I own you. I have complete power over you. That's why they are so obsessed with the trans stuff. Everyone knows it's ridiculous. Every single person. The trannies know. The communists know. The people on the right know. Everybody knows. The ridiculousness is the point. That's real power. I don't have power over you if I tell you to tell me the sky's blue. You can look up at the sky and see that it's blue. That's an obvious point. If I can make you say pizza's gross, if I can make you say water isn't wet, if I can make you say the sky is green, then I can make you do anything I want. That's power. That's power. And think about this. Half of society now tries to act like this is something that's real. Oh, yeah, dudes can become women for sure. Just shave off your forearm like a gyro and just turn it into something. Oh, yeah, for sure. All right. Let's talk about towels. We have to talk about towels because we're about to talk about the FBI, and that'll be ugly. And we're also going to help some guy cook for his dime. That'll be fun. But before we do any of that, we're going to start drying off with the best towels in the world, USA Cotton, courtesy of, once again, MyPillow, who makes the best freaking towels out there. And they have this six-piece towel set. Two bath, two hand towels, two washcloths. It's normally $99.98, and they're on clearance now. Go get a couple sets because they're $25. That's over 70% off. I went to community college, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. Chris, that's over 70% off, right? Oh, yeah, for sure. Over 70% off. You have to go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special square, and use the promo code Jesse. That gets you the best towels on the planet. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse, or if you're driving, don't be getting online ordering towels. They have a great customer service. Just call them. 800-845-0544. We'll be back.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
Sean Hannity, Monday from 3 till 6 on 710 WOR.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, reminding you, you can email the show whatever you want, your love, your hate, your death threats. Email it all to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right.
Guy has a question. Jesse, the dime of dimes is coming over for dinner, and I need your expert advice as to what to make her for dinner. I think she might be the one. What should I cook? And his name is Jeremiah. And he also says, Chris, please play a modern Luke Bryan song for Jesse Kelly's opening segment. He makes the worst country music there is, and I would love to hear Jesse come apart when it comes on. That's not nice that you guys try to get a rise out of me. One, that's not very nice. Okay. I'm going to tell you something about what to make for your dime, and you're not going to believe me, but you should understand that I'm right. What, Chris? Listen to me. Fellas, when you take your dime out on a date or when she's coming over to the house, here's what you need. You need chicken wings. No. What, Chris? Let me explain. I have a reason. There's a thought process behind this, okay? Look, she's a dime, all right? And women, they don't like to eat chicken wings that much, especially when they're on a date with a dude. Why don't women like to eat chicken wings that much? Because they're messy. You have to get your fingers messy. It's virtually impossible to eat chicken wings in a way that looks decent, especially for a woman. Now, I'm not worried about looking decent. When I eat chicken wings, I'm trying to Kamala all the meat right off the bone, and I'm going after it. But women like to be clean and like to be pretty. When you make her chicken wings, here's what you're doing. You're seeing if she takes herself too seriously. You make chicken wings because you want to see. Is she going to complain? Is she going to do the fork and knife thing? Or is she going to pick up the chicken wings? Not that I want her to be a dude and get her hands a little dirty and get after that thing. You can't look good trying to gnaw all the meat off the bone of a chicken wing. There's no way. And that definitely not with the flats. the flat wings where there's the meat, there's the two bones, and then there's the meat in the middle. So now you've got to decide, do you bring in your second hand and break off the bone, or do you just sit there and kind of creepily stick your tongue in between it, trying to push the meat out and then suck the meat out the other end? It forces her subtly into a fairly uncomfortable situation. Not in a way that's mean to her, in a way that you need to see, does she take herself too seriously? Because most people, no, I shouldn't say most people, that's not fair. Many people take themselves way too seriously. You're not going to believe me, but you need to trust me on this one. Chicken wings. And fellas, this applies to first dates. Chicken wings are fairly inexpensive. I mean, they've doubled in price, actually, but it's a meal you can afford. Take her out for some chicken wings. Sit out. What, Chris? See how she handles it. You don't agree? That's good advice. That's good. Look, here's what you want to do. You're tempted because she's so hot and you think she might be the one. You're tempted to go fancy smancy. I'm going to make her some linguine with clam sauce or something like that. What's that do? Plus, she'll probably screw it up. Chicken wings. Everyone can make some friggin' chicken wings. Dear Oracle, where do we start to get rid of the FBI? Is there a legal process that we could start to remove it? I know you say to start locally, but I do not know if that applies to the FBI. Okay, this has to come from Congress in conjunction with the President of the United States of America. And the chances on this actually happening in your lifetime or my lifetime are virtually zero. That doesn't mean we shouldn't push for it, but the chances are not good. And do remember the kind of dragnet stuff they're doing. This is Representative Dan Bishop talking about B of A and what the FBI has done working with them.
The Bank of America records, the story that Bank of America turned over the credit card transactions, whether for an aircraft or a lodging or the purchase of a cup of coffee, for everyone who decided to come to Washington, to be in Washington area, the Northern Virginia area. That's one of the things that you asked questions about. There are victims all over the place. It must be resolved. And the fact that those who profess to be most concerned about victimization of people by law enforcement in this country join in the victimization of you.
They collected the information on everybody who had a cup of coffee in the D.C. area. Imagine that. Imagine you didn't even go to the January 6th protests. Not that that was illegal. Remember, if you didn't trespass or hit anyone or something like that, it's perfectly legal to go to a protest in Washington, D.C. People do it all the time. They protest all the time. What if you weren't even there? What if you were in D.C. or Northern Virginia for work or something like that? And you used your B of A credit card and walked into a Dunkin' Donuts and got a cup of black coffee, and then you got some of their hash browns, because they do these little round hash browns where they put some kind of seasoning in them, and it's really good. But you got a cup of, oh, you've never had Dunkin' Donuts hash browns? Chris, are hash browns kosher? Yes, they're kosher. You people make those potato pancakes and pretend like they're original. Anyway, B of A handed your information to the FBI, who collected your information. It has to come from Congress and the president. Therefore, it's probably not going to happen in our lifetime. It probably will eventually. Probably not going to happen in our lifetime. That's why I've been so emphatic about returning that problem to the states. Your state police should be standing up to the FBI. Local police, local sheriff should refuse to coordinate or work with the FBI in any form. Your state should be running FBI's field offices out of the state. Period. End of story. All right. We have more. Someone wants to know about PTSD, my PTSD. Someone wants to talk about the AC pins and more. You know what I want to talk about? I want to talk about the fact that it's May 19th, and that means June is less than 2 weeks away, and that means the oh-so-popular Pride Month is coming to America. Once again, you won't be able to turn on the television or go on social media without being waterboarded by somebody's personal choices. It will be endless. It will make you sick to your stomach. And if you pay for Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, you will get to know that you paid for it all.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Because they take your money, those organizations, and they put out things that you don't agree with all the time. You vote every day. Every day you and I vote. Now that corporate America is political, every day we vote with our money, with where we spend and don't spend it. Switch to Pure Talk. They'll save you a fortune. Same 5G network as one of the big guys. CEO's a veteran. They share your values. They're giving out free Samsung Galaxy phones when you sign up for unlimited talk, text, and data. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. What do you mean that music's terrible, Chris? That's great music. You have no taste. Michael, do you think it's terrible? You said it's fine. You don't know if it fits the show. I don't think you guys know how cultured I am. I think that's really the problem. I don't think you understand.
Buenas tardes.
You've never appreciated my foreign languages. This is why I've never been given the appropriate amount of respect. Hey, Angry Pink Flower. You mentioned many times you were very angry at the verge of being violent when you got out of the Marines, but you've never mentioned what you were angry at.
My friend was a SEAL at the beginning of the Iraq War. He wasn't there too long. They were sent other places. But when he got out, he was very angry as well. He became a bouncer at rough bars and intentionally jumped into the middle of things so he could legally punch someone. But he has never said why he was so angry, even after many conversations about his time in. So I've been curious about this reaction for many years. His name is Jim. Well, I don't know. Let me explain. Obviously, there are specific things that annoyed me and made me angry. Angry at my government. We were mad about the American flag thing getting pulled down. We thought we got yanked around pretty good a couple times over there in ways that we did not appreciate. But none of that was terrible. None of that, I would say, is the main reason. I'll put it to you this way. This is probably the best way I can explain it. When you see combat, when you go over and you see people dead and all these things, you find out about a whole different part of humanity that even if you've watched movies about it or read books about it and things like that, it's not as real until you're there. You find out about how truly terrible man can be. And when you live your life that way for any extended period of time, 6 months, a year, when it's all, you know, death and guns and things like that, it can have an effect on you that is probably not healthy, but it's very, very natural. You will, if you look at our day-to-day life. Okay, so we go to a war. Bush declares war. We go up from Kuwait. We go through the country of Iraq. My unit, we went up to Baghdad. We fought our way through the country up to Baghdad. But then after that, I mean, so that was the actual war part. Then they declared victory. And then we went to some city called Najaf. And your day-to-day life is so different that I think this is a theory. I'm actually just fleshing this out on air with you. This is just a theory of mine. Your day-to-day life is so different than what a normal life normally is. You know how you live your life. You wake up, breakfast. Maybe you got husband, wife, kids, whatever the case may be, job, driving, listen to music, things like that. When you are living that life for an extended period of time, your life is all misery and violence. That's really all it is. It's always hot. It's always miserable. The food always sucks, or you're going out on patrol, or, you know, I remember like it was yesterday. One night we were in Najaf and boom, we felt like the ground shook and we looked and it looked like a mini nuclear bomb had gone off. there were these huge ammo depots that were close to Najaf, and part of our job in Najaf was kind of keeping an eye on them to make sure the terrorists didn't get in there and steal all these artillery rounds and all these other things. But one of these morons, well, a bunch of these morons, had gone into one of these big ammo depots where there's black powder laying around on the ground everywhere. And we think he lit up a cigarette because they were all smoking. We think he lit up a cigarette and they all died. Let me just clarify. There was no mystery, but we show up to see what happened the next day. They waited till daytime. We went out there the next day and showed up, and there's body parts everywhere. I'm not having a pity party for myself. Most guys had it worse than me. This is not about me. But if that becomes your daily life for an extended period of time, it can kind of harden you to everything, even to things you shouldn't be hardened to. Like, I remember when I got back, and I got out pretty soon after I got back, and I told you I was going to community college, not to brag, but Pima Community College, fully accredited. I'm going to community college, and I would look around at kids in class, and some, you know, 19, 20-year-old kid would raise a hand in sociology class and ask a question that I didn't like or I thought was kind of stupid. And instead of just, you know, rolling my eyes or just ignoring it like a normal human being would, I would get so angry. And I remember I would like look at him and I would think to myself, that piece of crap. You know what? I should go hit him. That's such a stupid, he should get hit. It just turns you kind of hard after a while. Does that make sense? It just kind of turns you hard after a while. And that can be really hard to deal with. And then when you add other things that affect guys, other things that people deal with when, if you lost a friend, you lost a friend really close to you, maybe. That's stuff that's hard to process. Very, very difficult to process. That can make you angry. Why did I lose him? Why did this happen? And if you did something that maybe you're not proud of, you ever heard of the New Georgia? The New Georgia? It was an island. I won't go into the details of it. It's part of the Pacific War. But New Georgia, it was one of the islands we had to take as part of the World War II Pacific War campaign. But there's a staggering statistic out there about New Georgia because of the environment and the jungle and everything like that. 25% of America's casualties on New Georgia were friendly fire. 25%. Now, wrap your mind around that. This is something that happens often in combat. Pat Tillman, the guy, the NFL guy, became a Ranger and then got killed by friendly fire. Friendly fire. Imagine this. Now, I did not go through this by the grace of God, but I certainly could have. It could happen to anybody. Imagine you're in a firefight with the bombs and the bullets and everything else, and you squeeze off a shot right as your buddy runs in front of you, or someone on your side runs in front of you, and you kill your buddy, or you kill someone on your own side. How does one process that? Now, if you're a veteran listening to the sound of my voice and you've gone through this, you need to process that, and it's not your fault. And if you're going through it, you need to reach out and get some help somewhere. But that's the kind of thing that not only is it hard to deal with, that's the kind of thing it's hard to come back and tell anybody about. How do you sit down? Like, I remember my parents sat me down. I was so angry when I got back, and my parents sat me down, and they really wanted to help, and they wanted to know if what they could do and what I was going through. And you don't want to explain it to them. You don't want to talk about it. Now, think about that times 1,000. Think about that if you threw a grenade that didn't go the place you wanted it to go, and you hurt somebody, killed someone on your own side. That's very common. How do you explain that to anybody? You feel such guilt. And by the way, again, vets, if you need help, dial 988 and then press 1, all right? 988 and press 1, all right? So there's help out there for you, tons of help out there for you. If you don't want to do that, you can always email the show. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. If you're struggling, I will track you down something. I'll get something for you. But anyway, I don't know if that answered your question, why so angry. It just, you get hard after a while when that's the life you live for an extended period of time. And when you come out of that, things just can make you angry. I remember one of my buddies, we were in a gas station after we got back from Iraq. We were at a gas station, and I got in the driver's seat, and he got in the passenger seat, and pop! Somebody had thrown a cone, a traffic cone. There were construction guys there. He had thrown a traffic cone out the back of the pickup truck, and it just landed flat on the pavement. No big deal, right? No big deal. My buddy is all of a sudden curled up in a ball in the passenger seat with his hands over his head. And then he stood up, and you could tell he was embarrassed, and he shouldn't have been embarrassed, but it can get hard for guys. So, that's why. I don't know if that explained it, but that's the best I can explain it. I did that one on the fly. All right. Hey, that's part of the reason I love Tunnel to Towers, man. The work they do with catastrophically injured veterans and homeless veterans is important to me. I hope it's important to you. It is. Think about coming back. You want to talk about anger. Think about coming back. You don't have legs. You not only went over there and went through that for your country, but now you come back and the rest of your life will be lived differently than it would have otherwise. Tunnel to Towers is building these guys smart homes, giving them a quality of life that they couldn't have without them. It's special, man. It's special. You see one of these guys and how it blesses them. It'll bless you. All they ask from you and me is $11 a month. $11. Go to T2T.org. T2T.org. $11 a month. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Not to worry, we still have an entire hour of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Man, some of these people are really, really not pleased about the Durham report.
Early on, it was just about, hey, have the Russians colluded or got intervened in this campaign? And as you just accurately pointed out over and over again, they did. There are 24 Russians charged with indictments under the Mueller inquiry. 6 of them, at least, were card-carrying Russian intelligence officers from the GRU. You can't say there wasn't collusion found here. So I'm saying this is, Durham is playing dumb. He's too smart for this, and therefore I have to say...
Oh, that's so good. Dear slave-driving RV salesman, I love your idea of the AC pin, and I'm hoping to get my hands on one. I intend to buy 2 of your books and donate one of them to my local library to help spread the message. I love that. This is just one of the ways we can fight back. By the way, in case you missed it, remember, if you order 2 or more books, there is a form to fill out at jessekellybook.com where the first 2,000 who do it, I don't know how many are left by this point in time, the first 2,000 who do, I do know there are some left though, the first 2,000 who do it, we're sending out a little pin. It just says AC for anti-communists, but other people will not know that. It's a good-looking pin. Black pin, gold lettering. It's a good-looking pin. Wear it. When you see someone else with it on, go up to that person and break bread with that person, even if it's brief, 5 minutes. Get some fries, whatever. Take a couple minutes. We have to start a community of anti-communists, all right? Anyway, the guy says, my question is this. Since the communists basically hate America and Christianity, do you think Democrats will ever denounce our traditional holidays such as Easter, Christmas, 4th of July, or would it be political suicide? His name is Wade. Well, we're not going to bring up Easter with Chris here. No, I'm just kidding. What, Chris? What? Anyway, obviously they hate those things. Well, of course they hate those things. And it's not that it's too far for them. It's too far to do it all at once. The communists are very, very fond of mocking the right because the right has forever complained about the lack of hearing Merry Christmas at Christmas time. Because for my whole childhood, that was what happened at Christmas time. Christmas is a holiday most Americans celebrate. Well, it's not like you have to be a Christian to celebrate it. Most people will do something for Christmas. I bet Chris even celebrates Christmas on some level. You do something for it's a traditional holiday. Now, I'm not saying it's an American holiday, but it's very much a holiday most Americans celebrate. And whenever you went somewhere
ever. You walk into JCPenney. I don't know if those still exist, but we had JCPenney when I was a kid. That's where we'd get my jeans for school. You walk into JCPenney, and they would say, Merry Christmas. All right, Merry Christmas. You walk into the grocery store. Hey, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you. It was just the norm. And then the various communist atheist groups out there started hounding these businesses and hounding various governments to stop saying it. There's no religion here. And now you get happy holidays everywhere because you don't want to offend anybody. Happy holidays. And the communists are very fond of mocking the right for that. Oh, you idiots with your Merry Christmas. But it does matter because, as we've talked about before many, many times, the communist wants you in a tiny cage where he controls every part of you, everything you do, everything you say. But he can't just grab you, free person, and put you in that tiny cage right away. You would resist. So instead, he just slowly but surely builds a fence around you and then starts making it tighter and tighter and tighter, slowly boxing you in. Don't say this word. This is another word you're not allowed to say. This is another thing you're not allowed to do. Oh, it's just this. Oh, it's just Christmas. Are you really going to put up too much of a fight about saying Merry Christmas? It's only Christmas. What are you complaining about? Oh, you're mad about tearing down statues? Oh, they're just Confederate statues. What are you, some kind of Confederate? Do you hate black people? See, it's just Confederate statues. No, I swear we're not going to go for a statue of Teddy Roosevelt or George Washington next. It's just this statue. It's just this. It's just that. It's only this. Hey, don't put up too much of a fight. And that's how they slowly get you, inch by inch by inch by inch. And it has been very, very effective over the years on the right because the right doesn't like to fight. The right wants to live peacefully. Only we're dealing with animals, with anti-humans who have no intention of living peacefully with us. But we want to live peacefully. So what the easiest path has always been, hey, just give them a little of the next thing. I mean, it is just the Confederates, and I don't know. I didn't learn much about the Civil War in school, but I know they were the bad guys. I don't want to look pro-Confederate. I'll just, okay, yeah, change the military base names. Of course. Oh, of course. Oh, what? A statue of Teddy Roosevelt? How did this happen? You're how it happened. It's not just that you can't give the communists an inch ever with anything. It's that you have to take inches back from them. Look, we've talked about it before. It's part of what we view our role is on this show. Finally, for the first time, shifting that Overton window, even if it's just an inch, back towards our direction. But it's never gone that way because we're always given inches, always allowing that fence to get just a little bit closer. Yeah, that's right, Chris. Chris said, just saying no, it's important, don't get me wrong. But that's still defense. That's not offense. Taking back ground is offense. Putting them on their heels is offense. Expanding language to things they don't want you to say, that's offense. You'll see, look, it doesn't matter. The tranny issue is a great way. Great one. You'll still see people on the right, oftentimes very well-meaning, very nice people. You will still see people say, well, I mean, if he wants to, you know, call himself a woman, I think he should be allowed to call himself a woman. It's his choice. He's not a woman. He's a dude. You don't have to step out of the world that is real into the world that is make-believe as some kind of way to extend your hand. No, no, no more ground given. Take ground back. No, you can't change your sex. You're the sex you were born with. No, you can't. Sorry. I'm sorry. You've clearly gone through some things in your life. I hope you get some help. I hope you get it worked out. I am sorry about that. But no, you're a woman. You cannot become a dude. You're a dude. You cannot become a woman. Don't give another inch. All we do is give inches so we can live peacefully. Now look at us. We're surrounded and that fence is getting awfully close now, isn't it? Can't even call stewardesses anymore, Chris. What? It's ridiculous. You know what else is ridiculous? That crappy food you're giving your dog. Your dog needs Rough Greens. Dog food. I'm sure you buy your dog quality food. Dog food is dead food. That's why it's all brown. And I'm not making that up. You go to a dog food factory and talk to the people there or email them. If you get them honestly, they'll tell you, yeah, we kill everything in the dog food. They have to. They have to, or it wouldn't last on the shelf. When it's done, they basically spray it with stuff so your dog will even eat it. There's nothing in the dog's food you're giving it. It's empty calories. But you could buy the all-natural nutritional supplement, Rough Greens. Then your dog will have vitamins and minerals, probiotics, digestive enzymes. Watch your dog come alive. Watch your dog get healthier, live longer. Free jumpstart trial bags. Roughgreens.com/Jesse. Okay? Or you can call them 833-33-MY-DOG.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.